everyone. Welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of August 27th, the final week of August. Amazing. I am your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and summer is nearly over, Melissa Hansen.
I know. Can you believe it?
No.
Yeah, our next show is going to be on Labor Day.
That's crazy.
Oh, too fast, too fast.
Yeah.
Come back.
So what does your weekend entertainment look like?
Well, on my new TV, because my old TV still doesn't work. Because after 3 weeks, they called.
Oh.
Here's the next step in the saga of
Sanyo/Panasonic.
Because I went to Facebook and Twitter and, you know, left messages everywhere. And they finally called and left me a message saying, "We got all your messages. We'll call you when we have information."
Oh, for Christ's sake.
So anyhow, good thing I bought a new TV, or it would be over 3 weeks now without one.
Wow.
But on my brand new sparkly TV, I finally watched Dexter.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and I chain smoked it in a couple days' time.
All right. Worth it?
Oh, totally worth it.
All right.
Really good. And this was the season that aired on TV last fall.
Right.
It was Edward James Olmos / Colin Hanks season.
Ooh.
They're always known by, like, their guest stars, because yeah. There's always one or two that are on for pretty much the whole season. Yeah, so good. Michael C. Hall is amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing on the show. It's one of those, like, made-to-play parts.
Can you tell he had gone through a major personal health crisis, or is it just seamless?
No.
Okay.
No. It's just seamless. And I don't know with shooting how that came in. Obviously, it was well after.
Yeah.
His cancer,
yeah.
His fight with cancer. His hair looked fine.
All right.
So, no, but it was good. It was, you know, typical Dexter, you know, bit of gore, bit of soul searching. This season actually dealt with religion, which was very interesting.
Hmm.
Yeah, so really good. And Jennifer Carpenter did not make me want to scratch my eyes and ears out.
Oh. Well, that's good.
Yeah, she plays Deborah, his sister, and she's kind of the second lead on the show.
And she's his ex-wife in real life.
Yeah, and that's what I was, well, part of what I was going to say is I've always hated her. I think she's a horrible actor.
Yeah.
And just, you know, I like the show in spite of her.
Okay.
She was not bad this season.
Wow.
She was actually, in some scenes, good. And there were some really emotional scenes between Deborah and Dexter.
Yeah.
Which is very interesting, knowing that, yes, they started shooting the show, playing brother and sister.
Mm-hmm.
They got married. did a season playing brother and sister. Got divorced and are still on the show together.
Yeah.
And there was some emotional stuff between the characters that had to mimic some real life things.
Ooh.
Some lines being said, and, you know,
wow,
about loving people and needing people and not needing people and things like that. So that was kind of interesting.
Hmm.
But they do, at the end of the season, they do one of the most frickin' ridiculous things with Deborah's character. Uh-huh. And it's like a psychological breakthrough thing.
Yeah.
And it is one of the dumbest things ever written.
Uh-oh.
And I'm speaking from, like, even, like, a psychology background.
Huh.
Which is my educational background, psychology and social work. And it's just so ridiculous. And I'm like, they are seriously going to ruin this whole show, you know, in this last half of an episode.
Wow.
And then the last, literally, minute of the final episode,
mm-hmm.
They do a game changer and nothing else matters. It's so cool. I cannot wait to see where they go with this now. So, yeah, very, very cool. So excited. I don't know if I can wait till next summer for the DVD to come out.
You're going to have to get Showtime and watch it.
I'm going to have to, or, like, pay for episodes.
That's true. Yeah.
God, know what happens. I don't know if I can wait that long, so we'll see.
Wow.
So, but, yeah, I mean, if you're a fan, this season that came out, what, a couple weeks ago on DVD.
Yeah.
Is, you know, top-notch in it. And like I said, Edward James Olmos and Colin Hanks, really good job.
Well, Eddie's awesome. I mean, he's one of my favorite actors of all time, so.
Yeah, so he's good. And Colin Hanks brings it. Yeah. I think, you know, nothing amazing, but good casting. So, yeah. And then all of our favorites are still back or secondary.
Okay.
Characters like Angel.
Yeah. Who I love. Yeah.
Vince, you know, so.
Yeah.
Totally fun to watch. The older kids are out this season completely.
Oh.
The baby's in it and has a huge, the character has a huge role, not the little kid playing it,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Anyhow, so excited I finally got to watch it.
Nice. Well, two things for me. First, I got caught up on the first two episodes of season two of Grimm. And as I expected, they're choking on their own mythology. They're just dumping so much stuff on us, and it's like, just dial it back. We don't need to know this much information in this short amount of time.
No, little pieces here and there. That's what keeps us coming back. We find a little thing and then wait for the next little thing.
Right. And it's cool because his mom is not what she appears to be. And, you know, this is going to play out throughout the season. Is she good? Is she bad? Whose side is she really on?
Yeah.
I love Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio. I mean, she has not played this kind of really badass character since we saw her in James Cameron's The Abyss.
She was great in that. And that is a great freaking movie.
It is a great movie. And I hate Cameron. That's a great movie.
You know, I hate him, like, personally.
Yeah.
I thoroughly dislike him as a human being, but that's a good movie.
Yeah. So we'll see where that goes. I mean, there's still some great moments. I mean, the characters are still there. What they're going to do with Hank is interesting because...
Okay, good.
You can't keep the wool pulled over somebody's eyes for so long. He's not stupid.
Yes.
And he's having a really difficult psychological time with all of this. So.
Okay.
But I did go to the theaters. I was hoping to see Paranorman, but I was outvoted and went to see Bourne Legacy instead.
Yeah.
And your view,
not quite as glowing as mine.
No, you know, Tony Gilroy was involved.
I never thought it was like an amazing movie.
No, and I'm not trying to discount that. Yeah. Tony wrote all the movies. He was involved from the very beginning. And Tony is a relatively fresh director. I mean, he directed Michael Clayton and a couple other smaller films. He's good. I mean, what they do is good with it. I just sat there wondering, like, what's the point of all this?
Yeah, I would agree with that, too.
We've seen it before. You know, Jeremy Renner's great. Rachel Weisz,
big statement being made either.
And I think that was my biggest thing. It's like
a political or social or anything. Yeah.
How many more Hollywood movies are we going to sit through that don't really have anything to say? You know, it's just, why do you fund these things if there's nothing compelling to say and you're just kind of rehashing things that we've seen before?
Yeah.
Really, what's the point? I mean, the visuals were great. There's this long chase sequence that just never ends where they're on their motorcycle and it's just like...
Oh, I like that though.
I did. It just seemed to go on too long.
Okay.
And they introduced this Asian Terminator guy who never says a word and they could have done something interesting with him and he really doesn't have anything to do but chase them.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I don't know. And you're right. It's totally set up to be... You know, the next Bond franchise, they can keep it going. And
yeah, exactly. And it's fun. You know what you're getting.
Yeah, you do.
Some are going to be better than others, but they're all going to be, you know, fun to watch.
I just wish, like Barbara Broccoli's doing with the new Bond pictures, the Daniel Craig, that there is something meatier there. There is some character development. There is some something to say. So, and the Skyfall.
Yeah, and when we had Daniel Craig take over the character... I mean, even though Jeremy Renner's not playing the same character, it's the same type of character.
Right, basically. Right.
We had, like, a huge reboot.
Yes.
When Daniel Craig took over. That was big on every level, what they did.
Yeah. And how they redefined...
This wasn't anything. It was like, oh, Dan, Matt's not going to do it. Well, let's change the name to this.
Yeah.
We'll add 5 minutes of backstory. Okay, go.
Well, and I was amazed. Like you said, Albert Finney was there for 3 seconds. Joan Allen was there for 3 seconds. It's like, how did they get all these people to come back? David Strathairn had, you know, 4 lines to say.
Because this was some of their biggest movie work.
Yeah, well, Albert Finney.
But not him, but the other ones.
Yeah.
You know, I think they owe something to the franchise.
Maybe. Maybe either they're just all friends with Tony, and he said, can you do this for me? And they said, yeah, sure.
Yeah, exactly. So.
So, anyways. What's been going on at the box office this week? Right. We're heading into the end of the summer season, and I think nobody's really going to the movies.
No, not at all. This weekend, Expendables 2 beat out Bourne Legacy.
Ooh.
Expendables 2 had $13.5 million. That's nothing.
Yeah, that's peanuts.
Nothing compared to what we've been at least in the 20s, if not double that.
Yeah, every weekend.
The number one movie all summer.
Yeah.
So, and so, Bourne had just over $9 million.
All right.
Paranorman had just under $9 million.
That's kind of disappointing.
The Campaign was $7.5 million.
Okay.
Coming forth, and Dark Knight's still hanging in there, which is over $7 million.
Wow, that's jumped, because it hasn't been in the top 10 in a long time.
Yeah, so that's back up. Huh. And, yeah.
So, Premium Rush was the new movie this week, which is the Joseph Gordon-Levitt picture with Michael
right,
Shannon.
And it's over $6 million.
Ugh, how terrible
which
for them.
Just barely beat out.
Yeah.
2016, Obama's America.
Okay, now this, when people that, don't realize, I was at the theater yesterday, and there was a group of about 12 senior citizens that were going to see this movie. This is a propaganda film by the Republican National Committee.
It's a documentary, and it his brother is in it. This is the big, huge thing.
This is not a movie. It's a piece of
and of course,
campaign
his
advertising.
Siblings he didn't grow up with at all.
Right.
They're his father's other children. But anyhow, that's their big thing. That's how they're really marketing this.
So $6 million ahead of the Republican National Convention that's happening down in Florida. So.
Right. And the director who did this also did Michael Moore Hates America.
All right. Look, and I'm not trying to divide politics and say one way or the other. I'm just amazed that what really is a piece of advertising can make $6 million at the box office.
Yep.
That's kind of perverse.
I would not disagree with you.
And if it happened on the other side, if somebody did a Romney movie, I would say the same thing. It's just, it's warped. All right. Next weekend at the box office. Actually, we have a Wednesday opening this week.
Okay.
Lawless, which is Tom Hardy, Shia LaBeouf, and Guy Pearce in the Prohibition area crime drama. This was written by Nick Cave, the rocker Nick Cave, and directed by John Hillcoat. So.
Right. And Nick also did the soundtrack to it.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, good
for
him.
Of course. You would.
We have a creepy movie called The Possession, which is more creepy kids, except this one stars Jeffrey Dean Morgan and Kira Sedgwick as her parents. And I guess they buy some antique jewelry box that has some demon in it that possesses the child, and they have to try and exorcise the demon.
Oh, righty.
And then there's a little Sundance comedy by the name of For a Good Time Call.
Mm-hmm.
Which stars about two girls who start a phone sex line.
Excellent.
But it's not for the principal cast that is interesting. It's all these, it must be all their friends, like Justin Long, Mimi Rogers, Kevin Smith. All these people have small roles in the film. So
Nina Vardalos is in it.
That's
Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So Lauren Miller.
Yeah.
One of the pair of women that did this is Seth Rogen's wife.
Oh, shut up.
So, yeah.
No wonder they got all these people.
Yeah, so that's how they got people in it.
Okay.
But not saying it's not a good movie.
No, and I just saw it was a little indie. Parts. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
All right. Well, if you're not going to the movies, you want to see what's coming out on DVD and Blu-ray, you can head over to DVDverdict.com, click on the DVD releases tab, and take a look at this huge calendar of things that are coming up. But this particular week, we've got Rihanna's feature film debut.
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
Battleship, which stars with Brooklyn Decker and Alexander Skarsgård and Liam Neeson, who apparently is in it for 2 minutes in the beginning and 2 minutes at the end.
Okay.
Go figure.
Yep.
Zac Efron gets to play a romantic leading man in The Lucky One.
Mm-hmm.
And then
what do you think? Do you think he's on his way out now?
I don't know, because he's got this thing called The Paperboy coming out.
Yeah.
With Nicole Kidman. He's got some other stuff. So I think his people are trying to do is transition him from the young teen heartthrob to a dramatic young actor.
I just wonder if he's going to make that transition, if he's going to really make it through.
We'll see.
So, because I think he's got the chops to do it. I actually think he's a good actor.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Some more catalog-type stuff. Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein comes to Blu-ray. And I'm always worried about these classic 40s films making the jump to high def because they're really not geared. The source material isn't geared towards adding a whole lot of depth to the picture. And I guess this one isn't as bad as some of the other ones because it can really screw up the process and make the picture look even worse than what you'd get on DVD.
Yeah, yeah.
Warner Brothers, who had released the Lord of the Rings trilogy in one big Blu-ray set, is now releasing the films individually. These are the Peter Jackson extended editions. So those are coming out this week. And then if you're looking for television, we've got Boardwalk Empire, Season 2, ABC's Once Upon a Time, Season 1, which I think is worth your time. If you are into the fairy tale kind of stuff, it's very different from Grimm.
Yeah.
But if you are into that kind of thing, I think they did an excellent job with the first season of taking very highly identifiable characters and kind of weaving them into the story in unique and interesting ways.
Okay.
And then we've got Walking Dead Season 2 ahead of the Season 3 premiere, which I think happens the first week in October. And in terms of exploitive releases this week, we've got the annual wave of 9/11 dramas and documentaries, which... I'm just, you would think after the 10th anniversary, we would start to taper off with these things.
Yeah,
but
I see it last year being big, but
it's not. So for the next several weeks, you're going to see all sorts of stuff rehashing this. And I sometimes it just feels like we're picking a scab. And I'm not trying to say that we need to forget what happened, but it's a little self-flagellation at times.
Yeah, I would agree.
All right. If you prefer streaming media to physical media, this week at Netflix, there is an abundance, a wealth of riches that are there. I'm only going to go through a handful of stuff. We'll pick up some more next time. A lot of the stuff is happening September 1st. You've got The Creepiest Kid of All Time, Damien, and 1976, The Omen, with Gregory Peck. You've got Humphrey Bogart and Katharine Hepburn and John Huston's 1951 classic, The African Queen. Tina Fey wrote what may be Lindsay Lohan's best and only decent film, Mean Girls.
Yeah, that's a really good one. I mean, it's a high school movie, but it's not just for high schoolers.
No, it's really funny.
I mean, it's Tina Fey. Come on.
Alicia Silverstone and Paul Rudd do Amy Heckerling proud in Clueless.
Okay, another high school movie that's not just for high school.
Yeah. Exactly.
Do a double feature with those two, man.
Kevin Bacon irritates John Lithgow in the original Footloose. Eddie Murphy's funniest film was his stand-up routine Raw, and that's out on Netflix this week. Robert Downey Jr.'s stunning portrayal of Charlie Chaplin in Chaplin.
Yeah.
And David Spade and Chris Farley in Tommy Boy. And I don't know, it's a classic piece of comedy that never gets old.
Yeah, it's funny as hell, but it's not just that. There's this heart to it.
There is.
So, yeah.
Even more so now that Chris
is so sweet in that damn movie.
Yeah.
So, all right.
And Everybody Loves Raymond, the complete series. If you're a Raymond fan,
nice.
You can start chomping your way through that. So,
all right.
Next week. And then over at Hulu, they've changed their entire navigating structure. The site is entirely different, so it's going to take some time to adjust if you use it regularly to see how they've got it set up. It looks actually more like Netflix structure now.
Okay.
A lot of cheesy stuff this week. So you've got Ed Wood's Plan 9 from Outer Space and Bride of the Monster, which both star a very ailing, drug-addled Bela Lugosi. You've got Dolph Lundgren and Red Scorpion, which Dave just reviewed for Verdict on Blu-ray, and he talked about this is one of those 80s films that does not hold up well at all.
No, well.
But for the cheese factor, you can see. And then you've got Vincent Price in the 1959... original House on Haunted Hill. Now, it's interesting because a lot of these older cheesy B-movies were colorized later in the 80s. Hulu now has the option. You can watch it in color or black and white.
I love that.
So,
I hold nothing against people who'd rather watch it in color. I get it. But I'm a, you know, original black and white kind of person.
Yeah.
So that's great that they're doing that.
So there you go. All right. I'll throw it over to you for TV.
Okay. Well, Tuesday... ABC Family has the Pretty Little Liars season finale.
Oh, boy.
And then Wednesday, we actually have a guest star I would like to mention. on TV Land's The X's.
What's that?
It's Donald Faison's show.
Hmm.
And Zach Braff is guest.
The bromance continues.
Yep. So Friends of Scrubs are going to want to, even if you're not watching the show regularly, you're going to want to catch that TV Land Wednesday night.
Nice.
And then Sunday next weekend, AMC's Breaking Bad, the mid-season finale.
Mm.
So that will be back with more episodes later, but taking a break. So, and then in music this week, Alanis Morissette has a new album out called Havoc and Bright Lights.
Hmm.
And Robert Cray has a new one too called Nothing But Love.
If you are a blues fan, you need to check out Robert Cray's stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. If you're a blues fan, you've already checked out Robert Cray stuff.
This is true.
But soundtrack stuff. Betty Buckley has one. Betty Buckley, who we all know, all of us who are about 40 know from Eight Is Enough.
Yeah.
She's a huge Broadway star.
Oh, yeah.
And her new album is called Ah Men, The Boys of Broadway. And she went and recorded all of her favorite Broadway songs that were written and performed by men. So Betty went and recorded all these songs she always wanted to do and never got to perform on stage. So, and then if you have not had enough of the Olympics and are crying because it's gone, you can pick up the CD for music for the opening ceremony of the Olympic game. And then we talked about earlier, Nick Cave's Lawless is coming out, and so is the soundtrack.
Got it.
And of course, it's, like I said, it's all music he's done.
Yeah.
In books this week, one of my favorite authors, Kathy Riche, who the TV show Bones is based on her books and her character. Well, they took the character's name, that's about all they took of the character. But her new one called Bones Are Forever is coming out this week.
Okay.
And for the kids, Captain Underpants and the Terrifying Return of Tippy Tickle Trousers. The latest Captain Underpants is coming out. And the latest Olivia book, Olivia the Pig.
Oh, yeah.
Olivia and the Fairy Princesses is out this week. And then if you are a fan of the TV show Switched at Birth, you can now read the story, Switched at Birth, The True Story of a Mother's Journey by Catherine Kenish.
All right.
And a little crossover this week between movie and TV and theater. There is a new PBS show, which is premiering September 9th. It's 60 high school students from across the country.
Yeah.
And it's a competition series called Broadway or Bust.
Oh.
Yeah. So we can see the next up-and-coming theater talent on that. And it looks like the producer of Evita, Scott Sanders, is developing a new musical based on Tootsie.
No.
Yep, based on the movie Dustin Hoffman's Tootsie.
Wow.
So we will be looking for that on stage. And, of course, it's going to be a musical because everything is now.
That's right. That's where the money is.
Yep.
All right. Well, in terms of entertainment news, Ben Affleck has come out and said dispelled rumors that he is involved in any way with Warner Brother and DC's Justice League franchise.
That's so disappointing.
So I guess he's getting ready to do press for Argo, and people have been asking about this. And he's like, you know what? These entertainment bloggers just need something to talk about, and they make shit up. So,
well, we didn't make it up. We just reported it.
So, well, that's true. But now the now the rumor is when one void, you know, opens up, now everything fills. So they're trying to say that Larry and Andy Wachowski, the Wachowski siblings now, are supposedly in the running to get this. But again, take it with a grain of salt.
All right.
Bad news for our friend Nina Bargel. Nickelodeon has canceled How to Rock after just one season.
Yeah, they're redoing a lot of, getting rid of their old shows, redoing their schedule.
Yeah.
And it's not the shows that were doing poorly. It was the network overall.
Okay.
Ratings were down a little bit, so they've decided just to kind of revamp the network.
Ah, interesting. Speaking of revamps, NBC showrunner Greg Daniels has announced that this particular season of The Office is going to be the last. It will end its run, but a spinoff series for Dwight entitled The Farm is being seated this season, so we're going to start meeting all of the weird and wacky members of the Schrute family.
Yes. This should be interesting. We'll see if this, you know, kind of falls on its face or has legs and runs.
Yeah, I don't see it.
God, that was the cheesy metaphor.
I don't see it.
Yeah, I don't see it doing well, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think they're milking a dead cow.
I don't know. I've been wrong before, so.
Yep. Salt Lake City's NBC affiliate is once again making noise. Of course, they are owned and operated by the Mormon Church, and they are promising, not threatening, but promising that they will not air Ryan Murphy's new comedy, The New Normal, because it promotes a gay agenda.
A gay agenda of what? Being in love and being with your partner and having a family and doing what everyone else wants to do.
Yep.
That agenda.
Uh-huh.
People living their lives and being happy. That's horrible
it.
Agenda.
They should be miserable like the rest of us. speaking of miserable, I don't know if you've been following any of this, but it seems to be all over. The Kennedy clan is fed up with Taylor Swift.
Already. That did not take long at all.
So she started out dating Patrick Schwarzenegger, which is Arnold.
Well, did she?
Yes.
All right.
So this is Arnold and Maria's son. And Maria, apparently, now this is all allegedly.
Okay, that's what I'm saying.
Well, Maria allegedly told her to get lost, leave him alone. And then she moved on to
his cousin.
Right. Connor Kennedy, who's still in high school. He's a senior in high school.
Yeah.
And now the rumor is that Maria and Caroline Kennedy are getting together to make sure that Taylor is extricated from dating any other Kennedys at all, despite the fact that she just bought a massive house across from their compound in Hyannis.
Yeah. So, well, the thing is, she crashed a family wedding.
Yeah.
And I guess he never RSVP'd. And then he, like, told him that day, hey, I'm coming to bring my girlfriend. And they asked him to leave.
Oh, okay.
And they refused.
Nice.
So, and we know this is true.
Yeah.
Because the mother of the bride is Kathy Gifford's stepdaughter.
Kathy Lee Gifford?
Kathy Lee Gifford.
Ah!
It's like Frank's daughter. And so Kathy Lee was there.
Oh, my God.
That was the whole story, and we're sharing it.
On the Today Show.
Yes.
Nice. In her very drunken stupor that she always has. Wow. That story just keeps getting better and better.
Whew.
All right, a couple other things. The Star Wars conventioneers were treated to news of the prequels' 3D theatrical releases. So Attack of the Clones is coming September 2013.
Okay.
And Revenge of the Sith will be a few weeks later in October, which means that the original trilogy will be in 2014 instead of 2015, as they had originally thought.
How exciting.
Hey, you know, I'm sure there are a lot of people who are excited about
this. I know.
I'm just not one of them. I can't stand the 3D stuff. I think it's a waste of time.
Yeah.
Although Finding Nemo is coming out in 3D next month, and everybody is really excited about that. So, figure. Speaking of 2013, Stephen Moffat and Mark Gatiss revealed that Sherlock Series 3 will return in September of next year.
Yes!
And teased the three storylines with three keywords.
Okay.
Rat, wedding, and beau.
Oh. Hey.
So I guess last season they had done the same thing, and one of them was Hound, which was the Hound of the Baskervilles. Okay. Another one was Fall for Reichenbeck Fall, and the other one was Woman, which was the introduction of Irene Ryan. So.
And okay, I got to go pull out my Sherlock Holmes books and figure out.
Right. What correlates, right. Okay, that's all I got.
Okay. Well, Amanda Bynes looks like she's done it again. BMW has pictures of her BMW with the front end all smashed in.
Because
of the latest report of a hit and run from someone, they're reopening one of the previous hit and run cases.
What happened to this girl?
I don't know. And she looks like crap.
She looks
like a drunken hoe, to be honest with you. She's walking around Hollywood. It's so sad because that girl has more talent in her little finger than most of Hollywood has total.
That's just it. I mean, she had kind of the world by the balls as a kid. And if she's going to, you know,
and as she transitioned from an actual child to like a kind of young adult.
That's true.
What I Like About You was a decent show. Yeah. Her and Jenny Garth.
That's right.
She was doing it. She transitioned.
Even the film role. Wow. She was in Easy A, and that was a good role for her.
Yeah. Yeah. No, she's been in quite a few movies, more college-y kind of thing. And Easy A was like a high school setting, but it's still, I think she made that transition at least from child to at least young adult actor perfectly fine.
I don't know what happened.
Yeah. Girl, but this is just sad.
She fell in with the wrong crowd or something. I don't know.
Yep. And also talk about just sad. We actually have Rob news in our Kardashian report this week.
Oh, no.
He's kept it pretty quiet lately and has changed that in a big flipping way.
Oh, no.
So Saturday.
Yeah.
Spent the day go-karting and then, like, hitting up restaurants and clubs and stuff and hanging out with a certain girl all day long.
Yeah.
And her name would be Rihanna.
Oh, my God.
So, obviously, like, Kim with the divorce, Courtney with the baby are getting way too much publicity, and Rob wanted some because they must have known this was getting caught on film.
There's so many ways I could go with this, and I'm just going to bite my tongue and shut up.
Righty.
All right.
Well, the best thing is, though, Rob is dating Rita Ora, a singer, and they just got, like, tattoos of each other and whatever. But, nope, he's hanging out with Rihanna all day. I'm sure nothing was going on there.
No. No. Not at all.
Rob. And actually, I have a crush on Rob Kardashian. I will totally admit it. I don't know. There's something when he was on Dancing with the Stars, and I didn't watch the whole season, but I caught a little bit, and I don't know. There's something about the poor boy who just gets overwhelmed by his crazy sisters.
I think we need to remove this segment from the show, therefore, because you're spending too much time with the family. I think it's kind of like Stockholm Syndrome.
I know this is not true. Okay, maybe a little bit. But
yikes.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you guys for tuning in. We'll be back next week with our end of summer show. And until then, Melissa Ann, take it away.
I know you understand. And with a tear in my eye, give me the sweetest goodbye.